Most gracious Father in heaven, we thank you for all the blessings that you shower upon us each day. We thank you, Lord, for your constant care. We thank you for our salvation through the Lord Jesus Christ and all that we have in him. We thank you for your blessed Holy Spirit who lives within us to guide us in the way that we ought to go. We ask you to bless us today and help us that we might truly be encouraged and strengthened and helped, that we might face the world that we live in today. We do pray, our Father, that you'd meet the need of each and every heart. You know each one of us this morning. You know what's going through our minds and hearts. You know the things that we're facing in life. And we ask you, Lord, to meet our needs and help us. May we put our faith and trust in you and not fear, not doubt, but trust. And may your holy will be done. Be with those who cannot be with us today, our Father, and those that are suffering. We ask you to undertake and meet their needs and have your own precious way in every heart and life. Thank you, Lord, for your grace, your mercy. And we ask you to lead us and help us in all that we do that we might bring glory to your name. We pray in Jesus' name with thanksgiving. Amen. Romans chapter 15, beginning at verse number 14. We're getting close to the end of the book of Romans. Only have one more chapter after this. 15, verse 14. And I myself also am persuaded of you, my brethren, that ye also are full of goodness, filled with all knowledge, able also to admonish one another. Nevertheless, brethren, I have written the more boldly unto you, in some sort, as putting you in mind, because of the grace that is given to me of God, that I should be the minister of Jesus Christ to the Gentiles, ministering the gospel of God, that the offering up of the Gentiles might be acceptable, being sanctified by the Holy Ghost. I have therefore, whereof I may glory through Jesus Christ, in those things which pertain to God. For I will not dare to speak of any of those things which Christ hath not wrought by me, to make the Gentiles obedient by word and deed, through mighty signs and wonders, by the power of the Spirit of God, so that from Jerusalem and round about unto Illyricum, I have fully preached the gospel of Christ. Yea, so have I strived to preach the gospel, not where Christ was named, lest I should build upon another man's foundation. But as it is written, to whom he was not spoken of, they shall see, and they that have not heard shall understand. For which cause also I have been much hindered from coming to you. But now, having no more place in these parts, and having a great desire these many years to come unto you, whensoever I take my journey into Spain, I will come to you, for I trust to see you in my journey, and to be brought on my way thitherward by you, if first I be somewhat filled with your company. But now I go unto Jerusalem to minister unto the saints. For it hath pleased them of Macedonia and Achaia to make a certain contribution for the poor saints which are at Jerusalem. It has pleased them verily, and their debtors they are, for if the Gentiles have been made partakers of their spiritual things, their duty is also to minister unto them in carnal things. When therefore I have performed this and have sealed to them this fruit, I will come by you into Spain. And I am sure that when I come unto you, I shall come in the fullness of the blessing of the gospel of Christ. Now I beseech you, brethren, for the Lord Jesus Christ's sake, and for the love of the Spirit, but ye strive together with me in your prayers to God for me, that I may be delivered from them that do not believe in Judea, and that my service which I have for Jerusalem may be accepted of the saints, that I may come unto you with joy by the will of God, and may with you be refreshed. Now the God of peace be with you all. Amen. Okay. We thank you and praise you this morning for your word speaks to our hearts. We thank you for the ministry of the Apostle Paul and all that he has given us in your word. We know that when he was here on earth, he traveled a great deal and reached many, many people with the gospel of Christ. And thank you, Lord, for all those who carry on that ministry today throughout the world. We think of our brother that we just read about, Rob Zapatosky, and visiting the other missionaries and workers there in Eastern Europe. And we pray your blessings upon him as he goes from place to place and seeks to be a helper to these missionaries and the pastors and evangelists in that area. We just ask you to give him the strength to keep going and the ability to lead this mission work. We thank you, Lord, for the work that they do. And also here in the United States, we know that there is a work among the Slavic people, and camps and all for the young people in the summertime, and up in Canada as well, and I think in South America. We pray that you'll bless them in a very special way and grant that there might be much work done among these people, and that they would come to Christ and to find him as their Savior and Lord. And Father, we thank you for all of our missionaries. We thank you for the ones that we are able to support and those that we know that we pray for regularly. We just ask you to undertake for them and supply their needs and grant that many, many more people might come to Christ. We pray for our own area here, Phoenixville and Audubon, and around this area, we pray that we might be able to reach out to other people and see them come to know Christ as well. We pray for the ministry on the internet, that the messages as they go out might also be a blessing to people, and for the website and all that. We just pray that it might be helpful in letting people know that we care and that we want to help them. We just ask you, Lord, to guide and direct us as a church as we think about the future and how we're going to continue on. We pray that we might be able to find those that would be willing to serve in the capacity as the financial secretary and all of the other things that are necessary. We pray that we might be able to continue on, that you would just help us to build up the church and see it go forward. We do pray especially for Earl Meshi today, that you would undertake for him as he's there in hospice. And we just ask you to undertake and give him strength day by day and comfort him. Be with Elena as well and meet her needs, as we know she's has health problems as well. For Ken Weber, we pray for Bob Kirkner and Marilyn, that you'll bless them as well. And we just ask you to guide and help us all, that we would look to you and find the strength to keep going and not be discouraged, but to look to you for all that we need. May your holy will be done, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen. Romans chapter 15. And we're going to begin at verse 14, as we read before this morning. So Paul is giving his testimony here and talking to the people about coming to Rome. This is one of the reasons that he's written this wonderful epistle, was to let them know that he planned to come for a visit and then go on to Spain. This was his heart's desire. We're not sure if he ever made it to Spain or not, because later on, as you remember, when he went to Jerusalem, he was arrested there at the temple and taken into prison for 4 years. So he did finally get to Rome, but he went in chains, as you remember. He went there as a prisoner of the Roman Empire. So we're not sure what happened, but this was his heart's desire. And Paul gives his testimony over in Philippians chapter 1. It says, "For to me to live is Christ, and to die is gain." And this seems to be the testimony of the Apostle Paul. And he found Christ sufficient for every need that he had. Had a deep and continual joy, even in times of suffering and the dangers that he constantly faced. We find his great love for Christ expressed in so many ways, even in this passage that we read this morning. And from the time that he received Christ as his Savior on the road to Damascus until this point, he has been through a great deal. And here he's writing to these people in Rome, the church or churches at Rome, and expressing to them his appreciation, his gratitude to them for their service for Christ. And he points out here in speaking to these people that he realizes that they already know a great deal. I don't know where they got all of their training, but Paul expresses the fact here. He says in verse 14, "And I myself also am persuaded of you, my brethren, that you are full of goodness, filled with all knowledge, able also to admonish one another." So this group of believers had an organized churches and were able to carry on their ministry. He speaks of them as being full of goodness. And I notice I was reading some of these. There's a number of different things where he talks about the fullness. Here we talk about the fullness of God, the fullness of the Holy Spirit. And here he's saying these people are full of goodness. That doesn't mean, you know, that they were perfect. We don't find perfect people anywhere. But they were sincere in their love for Christ. And they wanted to do the right thing. They were filled with a desire to serve Him. Goodness in that sense of the word. And they were filled with all knowledge. In other words, they had studied the Scriptures. They had been with other believers, and had a great deal of knowledge already. And of course, Paul here is instructing them here in the book of Romans, giving them a great deal more to think about. He says, "You're able to admonish one another, to proclaim the gospel." So Paul here is, he's very tactful in what he says. I mean, he's telling the truth, of course, and this is God's word, but you notice he doesn't attack them. You know, sometimes people attack people and say, you know, you should do better, you should do better. But he's very tactful in what he says, and he says, "I realize already that you've come a long way, that you're able to carry on your ministry, that you are able to proclaim the word of God. Nevertheless," he says in verse 15, "nevertheless, brethren, I have written the more boldly unto you in some sort, as putting you in mind because of the grace that is given to me of God." See, Paul is saying, I realize that you already are able to do a great deal. You know how to carry on your ministry, and I'm not trying to change any of that. Yet, he says, I have the responsibility of teaching you. He points that out. He's written boldly, and you read the book of Romans, and you can see he expresses all of the Christian doctrines, and it's such a wonderful epistle. Has so much in it that we can profit from, and we have been through most of the book. But here he's saying that God has given him a special task. And he points that out in verse 16. He says that I should be the minister of Jesus Christ to the Gentiles, ministering the gospel of God, that the offering up of the Gentiles might be acceptable, being sanctified by the Holy Ghost. So Paul is speaking of himself here as being the apostle to the Gentiles. We know, excuse me, I've got... that God appointed him to that office. We have the other 12, 11 after Judas betrayed the Lord. But anyway, the other apostles went to the Jewish people, and Paul was especially assigned to go to the Gentiles, which the Romans were basically, was a Gentile church. And so he has a special obligation to reach them. That's what he's saying here. And he says, the words that he uses here, this last part, says that the offering up of the Gentiles might be acceptable. And this, the way this is, it's like the priest in the Old Testament would offer up a sacrifice to God. Here he's saying, I'm offering up the Gentiles to God as an offering. And this was his special ministry. He introduced Gentiles to God and presented them like an offering, like a sacrifice to the Lord. Preached the gospel of Christ, and those who received it were sanctified or set apart by the Holy Spirit. See, this was his main ministry, that he was reaching the Gentile people. And yet, we know that Paul had a great burden also for the Jewish people, his own people. And everywhere he went, he would seek to reach them as well. So the fact that he was the apostle to the Gentiles did not deter him from also reaching out to others. And he had a specialized ministry, and yet he was willing to reach anyone he could. This was his ministry and his heart. He desired to do that. And we find something else about the Apostle Paul here. That he wanted to do a pioneer work. Look at verse 17. He says, I have therefore whereof I may glory through Jesus Christ in those things which pertain to God. For I will not dare to speak of any of those things which Christ has not wrought by me. So he says, the Lord Jesus is working through me. He says, I'm not bragging about what I do, but I am saying this is what Christ is doing, reaching the Gentile people and bringing them to Christ. He says, to make the Gentiles obedient by word and deed, through the mighty signs and wonders, by the power of the Spirit of God, so that from Jerusalem and round about unto Illyricum, I have fully preached the gospel of Christ. Paul preached the gospel, how Jesus died for our sins on the cross, was buried and rose again the third day, that we might have salvation, that we might trust in him and and know Him as our Lord and Savior. That's the gospel message. And He proclaimed that everywhere He went, and Christ worked through Him, gave Him the signs of the apostle and all the rest, that He might be able to convince people of the truth of the Word of God. And He mentions here that He preached in this entire area from Jerusalem all the way over to Illyricum. And I looked that up. It says Illyricum is the area that used to be Yugoslavia. Oh, well, it was Illyricum. That's backwards. Anyway, it's no longer Yugoslavia, what I'm trying to say. But anyway, that area, all the way down to Albania. So He preached from Jerusalem all the way up to that area. And it's about 1,400 miles, they say. And back in those days, what, they traveled by foot or maybe on a horseback or sometimes on ship. But He covered a lot of territory. And everywhere He went, He wanted to do a pioneer work. He says, I have fully preached the gospel of Christ. In verse 20, here's the verse I'm looking for. Yea, so have I strived to preach the gospel, not where Christ was named, lest I should build upon another man's foundation. See, He's a real pioneer. It's like missionary to Africa, David Livingstone. When he first went out there, no one else had ever been there before. When he went, he said he saw the smoke of 1,000 villages and wanted to go and reach these people with the gospel of Christ. And this was Paul's method. He didn't want to go around and follow the other apostles and try to overlap the same work that they were doing. He went out to places where no one had ever been before with the gospel and proclaiming the Word of God to reach them. And all the way from Jerusalem to Illyricum. And then he comes on what he plans to do for the future. He still hasn't given up, of course. He's going to go forward. And he says, up until now, I've been hindered to come to you because I've been busy working in this area. See, this he wanted to cover all of that territory. And then he says, now that I've covered that and I've finished that work, I want to come and visit with you. And then go on to Spain. Spain was the westernmost part of Europe at that time, and he wanted to go and reach the people in Spain. As I said at the beginning, I don't know, we're not sure if he ever made it there or not. He might have. There's some of us, we think that he perhaps was in prison twice, and in between, it's possible that he could have gone to Spain. But this was his heart's desire. He was always wanting to reach out to other areas and reach more and more people with the gospel. So he wanted to come and minister to the saints in Rome, as he says here. He said, I've been hindered from coming to you because of all the other work, but now having no more place in these parts, he says, I finished my work here. And having a great desire these many years to come to you, when I take my journey to Spain, I will come to you. For I trust to see you in my journey and to be brought on my way hitherward by you. If first I be somewhat filled with your company. So in other words, he's saying here, I want to come and visit with you, teach you, fellowship together, get to know you. And that we can work together, and then you can help me on my way to Spain. I think it's like today we have the missionaries going out to various places, and they have to be supported from some place, right? So they have to go around and raise their support. and go out and people help them with their finances and with their prayers as they go out to the mission field. And that's what Paul's asking here. Back in those days, when you went to a city and you wanted to go further, some of them would actually go along with you for some distance to help you along the way. And that's what he's talking about. You can help me on the way to Spain. So this was his heart's desire, his plan. And he was looking forward to doing that. But he says before that, he had to go to Jerusalem, right? You remember in Jerusalem was when the believers were first converted on the day of Pentecost. Peter preached and there were 3,000 saved. And then a little later there were 5,000 more. So there was a good sized group of believers there in Jerusalem. But because they believed in Christ, they were persecuted. And no doubt they could not have the best jobs or anything like that. And because the Jewish leaders would not allow them to prosper. And so they fell behind and didn't have sufficient to live on. And so Paul and some of the others gathered an offering together to take them from the churches in Macedonia and Achaia, which would be Greece, right? These two sections of Greece. The believers there took up an offering, and Paul and some of the others were delivering it to Jerusalem. So this is what he's doing first. So once again, we see another part of his ministry was to help those who were in need, right? The believers, the church at Jerusalem that had fallen on hard times. He was taking this offering to them, and he wanted to make sure that they got it. And he talks about the churches. The Gentile churches wanted to help meet their needs. So this is, once again, showing the unity of believers, right? Jewish and Gentile serving together, right? Working together, seeking to help one another whenever the need, whatever the need may be. And Paul says this is right. It's the right thing to do. Because in verse 27, he says they are debtors to the Jewish believers. For the Gentiles have been made partakers of their spiritual things. Their duty is also to minister to them in carnal things, or material things, right? So it says, you know, it was our Bible is basically a Jewish book, right? The Old Testament is completely that, and I think all of the writers in the New Testament were Jewish, except maybe Luke. I think Luke was a Gentile. But all the other writers, as far as we know, were Jewish. And so we have gained a great deal spiritual benefit from these Jewish people. And now they are having difficulties and they're poor. And he says the thing to do is only right that they should help them with a financial gift. Because they have benefited from all that they have done previously. So this is what he's talking about here, another part of the ministry that he had, and something that should be done when people are in need. So then he says, this is what I'm going to do. He didn't know exactly how it was going to all work out, and of course it didn't come out exactly like he had hoped, but this was his plan at least. And so then he says, I'm going to come and visit with you and then go on to Spain. And then he comes to this prayer request. It says in verse 30, now I beseech you, brethren, for the Lord Jesus Christ's sake and for the love of the Spirit, that you strive together with me in your prayers to God for me. Strive together. And I have a note here on that. It says the idea is that Paul wants the Romans to partner with him in ministry through their prayers. The ancient Greek word translated strive together means to agonize together. In other words, it's something that's really grips you, right? Something that you really take in earnest, you know. Sometimes our prayers are rather, what, weak, or we do it kind of as a ritual, right? Now I lay me down to sleep, you know, that kind of thing. But no, he says, no, let's agonize together, pray. Seek the Lord's favor and pray for me because this work is hard. And he didn't know how hard it was going to be because he was arrested and so forth. But I had a note here also on this other I wanted to read from one of the commentators. He says, ministers need the prayers of their flocks. I think we know that. With Paul, I urge you to strive in your prayers for your pastor. We need your prayers, and we thank God for them. Pastors are sustained by the power of the Spirit through the support of their congregations. And I think you pray for me. I hope you pray for me because I need it so desperately. And we all do, and we should pray one for the other. And he says in verse 31, here's his prayer request. That I may be delivered from them that do not believe in Judea. He's asking for prayer for deliverance from those who would persecute him. And that my service for the saints might be accepted. You know? He was taking this money from the Gentile churches to the Jewish people. And, you know, there may be some prejudice, bias in there between these different groups. And he's saying, oh, I want you to pray that they will accept this money, that they won't be so proud that they, you know, won't do it because it's important. And so he's asking for all this, these people to pray. And that brings us to something, you know. We all can do something, right? These people were in Rome. And what could they do for the Apostle Paul, who was still in Israel? He says, can you pray for me? Pray that God will do this. And that's what he asked for us. Our missionaries that go out to different countries, we can't reach them. We can't be with them. We can't do anything for them except pray, help them maybe financially a little bit. But he's asking them to pray. It says, pray that I may come unto you with joy by the will of God and may with you be refreshed. Now the God of peace be with you all. So we have this wonderful message from Paul. And certainly we can take this to our own hearts that we might reach out to those around us that need to know Christ. That we might do the work that he would want us to do and then pray one for another and serve him together. I think it's a message here that we can receive, the same message that he sent to the Roman believers, something that we need today as well, to be reminded. We have a work to do. Strive together with me, he says. Strive together with me. And we can all do that. And God expects us to do a part of the work. It's not all up to the one person or two or three people. It's up to everyone, isn't it? To do the work that God has called us to do. And one of the greatest things we can do is certainly pray for one another. pray for the work of God to be done. Our Father, we thank you so much for your word to our hearts today. We pray that this message will resonate with each one of us, and that we will take seriously our obligation and our duty, our responsibility to work together to accomplish your will and purpose, and to reach out to those beyond us, even through prayer, that we might be able to help those who are delivering the message to be able to win people to Christ and to help them in every way possible. Lord, help us, we pray, here at the church. We pray that we might be strengthened, that we might be able to continue on and serve you in the way that you would want us to. May your holy will be done, we pray, in Jesus' name. Amen.